Vanderbush that I couldn't just get up and say amen to what he said. I like those compact messages. Back years ago, we were on the radio. Gene, are you here? Bender's back there in the old KIXL radio station. I was on, what, at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it was a live program. Usually I called in, 7:55. No, it wasn't, 7:55. I called in, and most of the time on the phone, tried to record it sometimes, but I didn't know how to use recorders very good. But I remember doing a 5-minute messages, and people were impressed with that. You probably never listened to one of them, Gene, but it was a lot of fun doing a 5-minute message. And I've really been praying lately that we could start the 5-minute church. I know most of y'all would be very excited. We could have a 5-minute worship, 5-minute announcements, 5-minute offering, and 5-minute message, and 5-minute healing service. So it gives us 25-minute service. And then we could all have drank 5-minute energy when we left. Oh, my goodness. I love to start out like this. It gives me a lot of inspiration. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I got up very early this morning, and last night I went to bed preaching to myself. And then I realized when I got up this morning, I couldn't remember what I was preaching. So I had to start over again. But there's something brewing in my spirit this whole last week. We were in Florida this week, and we had a great time there with the anointing of the Lord. And I just really began to sense something about the principle of displacement, how that everything that is happening right now upon the earth in the body of Christ is for a purpose, and that purpose is to displace that which has ruled the earth in the days past, which namely the kingdom of Satan. There's a purpose for the kingdom of God coming to the earth is to take over what's been ruled by the satanic nature and to take over what's been ruled by the flesh of man. Because as God's kingdom comes, Jesus said, pray this way, let your kingdom come, Lord. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So there's the purpose of the resurrection is to displace Satan as God of this world and to establish the kingdom of God upon the earth. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterwards the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Everybody say, second man is the Lord from heaven. And when we look at the resurrection is the transition that God takes us out of this earthy man into the spiritual man. You know, Jesus Christ was the incarnate Word of God. What does incarnation mean? Incarnation means flesh was put on a spiritual being. And we do have a nursery available, folks, by the way, so we'd encourage you to take care of that. When the incarnation of the Word of God becoming flesh is found in John, the first chapter, said the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Everybody say, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that many as received that word, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. So everything that God spoke from heaven became manifested in the person of Jesus Christ. Isn't that neat how that every word that God has spoken since the foundation of the world manifested in the form of a person, and his name was Jesus. So if we want to know God, if we want to know the Father, then who do we get to know him? We get to know Jesus, don't we? Because Jesus reveals to us who the Father is. Now, the beautiful part about that expression is that God also reveals who the Father is through those that receive that incarnate Word into their life. Because the Word bears forth fruit after its own kind. So every seed that's sown, if you sow an apple seed, what does it grow? What does an apple seed grow? If you sow a tomato seed, what does a tomato seed grow? Tomatoes. So every seed produces forth fruit after its own kind. Well, when God sows a seed in you, when you receive that seed, that Word of God into your heart, it will produce fruit after its own kind. So what's the natural evolution, so to speak, of the Word of God being sown into your life? You begin to show evidence and revelation of the nature of the thing that you receive. It will birth in you the exact replication of what it is. All of its DNA comes forth in your life. You become, what happens in Christ? We become a brand new creation. Everything old passes away. Everything becomes new. Now, I know you have a hard time wrapping our mind around that because it's difficult for us to imagine that we're carrying around all this divinity when we're also carrying around this flesh that in many cases really plagues us. How many of you ever have an issue with your flesh? Right? With your mind, with your thoughts, your emotions, with your commitment, your dedication. How many have issues with a lot of things in life? So sometimes it's difficult to separate. Hey, I've got this natural man, but there's also this spiritual man in me. And what the Lord's doing in this hour is he's bringing a revelation to us, not just a doctrine, but a revelation that births in us the reality of who we are in Christ. So one day we wake up and say, look, this is who we are. We're no longer this, we're this. Jesus had that same realization, didn't he? I'm not just Jesus the man. Because, see, Jesus was both a man and a what? A God at the same time. He was a God-man. Guess where you're at today? You're both a man and are you afraid to say it? Well, you're defined in the Scripture. The Scripture defines you as God's with a little g. Right? Because you are created in his image. So what else are you going to call yourself? Are you going to call yourself a chunk of flesh? Are you going to call yourself a defeated being upon the earth? Or are you going to really begin to realize that you are God's? Now, you're not God, but you are a God in the sense that you've been caught up now because of what he did, because of his willingness to not only to sacrifice for you, but he identified with you to the extent that he's willing to take you where he is. You know, we often talk about finding our identity, and it's so important in this hour to understand our identity. But it's really even more a greater revelation that Christ identified with us. Hebrews talks about how he was a high priest that identified with us in every aspect of our life. See, I can keep trying to identify with him, and sometimes there's a futility in that, but the birthing of me identifying with him is when I realize how he identified with me. Can I say that again? The real birthing of my revelation comes when I realize how he's identified with me. Christ first loved you. I don't have to come and say, well, I've got to muster up enough love now to please God. Oh, if I could just love God more, I could please God more. Well, that's all well and good, but really the reality is that you'll never be able to love God until you realize how much God loves you and how much he accepts you, how much he approves of you, how much he forgives you. And when you realize how much he loves, forgives, and has a redemptive plan for your life, then it's easy for you to respond back to him in a positive affirmation. But it's very difficult to respond to him properly when you don't have a concept or a revelation of how much he cares for you. Amen. God has poured out his love towards us in such a great manner, it sheds abroad into our hearts. Hebrews 9 says that it was not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once and for all, having attained eternal redemption. You see, he became a sacrifice for each one of us. God did love the world and does love the world so much that he gave his son. So there is a sacrificial gift that God gives to each one of us, and in return, there's a sacrifice of praise that comes back to him. For whatever God pours into you, it's easy then to respond back to him with an affirmative response to the Lord. Isn't it a lot easier for you to love me if I love you first? Hello? What does the scripture say about husbands? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. How many husbands here would like to have some more love from their wives? Well, you get more love from your wife when you love her first. Isn't that the natural order? And how about we in the church, when we realize how much he loves us as our husband, then we respond to him. See, submission comes as a natural response to love. Submission comes as a natural response to love. If I want you to be submissive, then I need to love you more with Christ's love. It's easy to be submissive to love. It's difficult to be submissive to tyrants and to bullies and to people that create an aura around them of thinking, well, I'm an authority, so be submissive. And when Christ came, he literally destroyed the works of the devil. Everybody say, Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. In fact, the scripture says he made an open display of them. In other words, he completely exposed their devices and their deceptions. And the power of God comes in your life to destroy the work of the devil in you. But what's the devil trying to do to you? He's trying to separate you from this love that God has for you. He tries to separate you from love by several areas of attack. He tries to convince you that you're not worthy of love. He tries to convince you that your sins are greater than God's love. He tries to convince you that you're ultimately going to be rejected no matter how much you're accepted today. He's a father of lies. There's no truth in him. And so everything he feeds you is a lie. He tries to separate you, isolate you, condemn you, frustrate you, to continually tell you that you are truly cut off from God and you can have no true unity with him on a lasting basis. You might have it every now and then. You might get an anointing. You might feel good about yourself every now and then. But he tries to convince you that's not going to last. Because after all, don't you remember how you blew it last time? You're bound to blow it again, right? No. Everybody say no. And so Satan comes to attack you, and God has said, I'm destroying his works. You don't have to listen to the lie. You don't have to buy into what he's trying to convince you that you are. Just accept who I am for you. I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believes in me will not perish. So no matter what comes against you, God says, I'm for you. Who can separate you from the love of God? Can death nor life separate you? Can angels or principalities separate you? What can separate you from the love of God? God's love is so incredible that it cannot separate from you unless you choose that separation. He never walks away from you. Didn't he say, I'll be with you always, even to the very ends of the earth. The Lord will never abandon you in your time of need. You might abandon yourself. Your friends, your relatives may abandon you, but he will never abandon you. He is like a brother that sticks closer than a friend. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Oh. When Jesus was called in the ministry in Matthew chapter 4, the first thing that happened was that Satan tempted him basically in three different ways. And every time he tempted him, Jesus had a response. But the response wasn't based upon Jesus' emotional response. He didn't say, oh, I'm not going to submit to that devil because this is the way I feel about it. No, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Or it's what he's declaring. He said, let God be true and let everything else be a lie. How many believe God's truth trumps every lie? What is Jesus? He's the way, he's the truth, and the life. So when you come into the Lord, every lie is trumped in your life. It's defeated. It's cast down. It's every thought that's lifted up here is brought down by the presence of the Lord. It's one of the reasons why we really have a revelation of worship here at Cathedral of Praise, because it's not simply in a doctrine that you transform. It's in his presence. Because in the presence of God, you really begin to taste the essence of God. You see, if all you get in the house is a mind change or transformation without a presence, then you're only going to be locked into something that doesn't have any life, because he is a life-giving spirit. Yes, right. The first Adam was of the flesh of the world, but the second came down from heaven. And what we need is a heavenly encounter every time we gather together. The Word of God should always be revealing heaven to us. We should feel an anointing upon the Word of God where there's a transformation in our very being, to where all of a sudden we no longer have to wrestle with this thing that we've been wrestling with, and we can just begin to lay it aside and move on. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Everybody say, no more roller coaster Christianity for me. We're going to go from glory to glory, image to image, transformed by the presence of God. And all that God wants us to be. Hallelujah. He said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. He said, oh, the devil, I don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He said, I'm taking you up to this temple, to this pinnacle. He said, if you're really the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you. And Jesus said, hey, man, listen, don't tempt me. When the devil comes to tempt you, what do you need to say to him? Don't tempt me. Just don't tempt me. I don't need your temptation. I mean, it's really cool when you begin to move in righteousness. You have to work to sin. Remember how easy it used to be to sin? It just was like second nature to you. You just were like, you woke up in the morning and you were just a sin tree. You were just waiting to manifest some sin. Oh, I can't wait to sin today. Now you wake up and it just struggle to sin, because you're not having an awareness of sin, because your conscience has been purged by the blood of Jesus. You no longer have an awareness and a consciousness of what sin is. Your awareness and consciousness now is on righteousness. What does righteousness mean? It means that you're now in a right standing position before God with a right attitude. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you're not looking for failure. You're looking for victory. And it surprises you if the victory is not forthcoming. Wow. Wow. Man, even before you call, it shall happen. And I can't tell you what happened in South Beach with Bill and Darren and I on Thursday, because then you would think something weird. But something happened. Remember at the dinner table, I asked for something and it showed up within a few seconds. Wasn't that wild? I'm thinking, this is cool, man. God knows the desires of my heart. And even before you ask, he's already dispatched a messenger. Because I'm in a place of righteousness. I'm not thinking, well, what next bad thing's going to happen to me?
That's right.
What's going to foul this day up? No, I begin to anticipate that my steps are ordered by God and I'm fixing to have divine appointments.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Had a divine appointment Friday night. Someone I know in the church said they wanted to look for a car, and I said, well, I'll help you out. I'm kind of like research cars. And so I went home, I got on Craigslist, looked at the cars, and second one I came to, I texted the person and said, hey, I like this car. I'd like to talk to you more about it. And a few minutes later, I got a text back, hey, Bill, how you doing? They didn't give a name in the ad. And I said, who is this? And they said, did you lose my contact information? I said, well, who is it? And then they told me, I said, oh, I had a new phone last year. I had to get all my contacts transferred over. And I hadn't talked to this person in 2 years. And so I called them the next morning and come to find out they're looking for a new church. And he said, this is crazy. He said, I just posted that ad a few minutes before, then the text comes in, and it was you, the pastor. See, when you live in a state of righteousness, you live in a state of anticipation of a divine intervention in your life. And that's what happens in the resurrection. It takes us out of that death and that thing that's not working for us, and it brings us into a brand new life, buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. And see, life has a full expression of what it'll bring to you. You don't have to live like half-hearted, half-committed, half-dedicated, lukewarm Christian. You can live just on the cutting edge, just simply because you begin to accept the fact of who he says you are and what he declares over your life. So Jesus won over Satan, didn't he? Man, he loved it too. He just loved it. The Bible said he's interceding every day on your behalf. He loves your victory. He's your biggest cheerleader. I mean, if you could see, if we could just imagine a cheerleading force, and it's Jesus is the head cheerleader, and all the angels are with him, and they're saying, push them back, way back. Go team, go. Come on, church, come on. Come on. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You have been destined to be an overcomer in the Lord. There's my notes from What Do You Manifest. Okay, I don't want to go back to that, do I? That was kind of a potty message. Not that kind of potty. I'm talking about hemp potty. Oh. This is Let's Manifest Part 2. Woo. What day is this? So the Lord invaded. He's so invaded. I mean, you talk about Attila the Hun being a good invader. Jesus is the most victorious invasion that's ever happened in the history. God invaded the sense realm where natural man lived. Isn't it crazy how God just shakes up everything when he comes in? He invades us. And Satan tries to stop it, but he can't do it. Everything that he flows up against the Lord is rebuked. And you can rebuke him on every aspect. You know, the scripture says that the Lord rebuke you, Satan. And when you're facing these things in your life, your demons, so to speak, say, the Lord rebuke you. When you're feeling down at the mouth and confused and anxious and less than worthy, say, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. I live by the word of God. He came and not only did he invade the sense realm, but when you think about Jesus, look what he did. He said that he healed every manner of disease. He didn't let any of that stay around him. And everyone that came to him, he healed them. He took authority over death. Jesus said to Lazarus, come out. Lazarus rose from the dead. And he said, death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? With Jesus Christ, nothing else compares to the awesome authority that he has over every realm. The physical, the spiritual. In every contact with adversity, Jesus conquered. And guess what? Because of that sacrifice, because of he became sin on our behalf, because he now has chosen you to represent him upon the earth. Everybody say, I'm a chosen representative. Makes you feel pretty cool, doesn't it? Everybody say again, I'm a chosen representative of the Lord. You're a living epistle. God has written on your hearts by his Spirit, his word. He's put in you a seed to where you can become an incarnation of his glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. So Jesus was an incarnation of the word, was he not? Mm-hmm. Of the will of God, the will of the Father. Are you an incarnation? Do you really believe you're an incarnation? Do you believe there's something living in you that's great? It's awesome. That's victorious. That's powerful. That's wisdom. Do you believe that you have the wisdom of God in you? How about the love of God? Is it in you? Think about it. You are an incarnation of God's will upon the earth. For just as he is, so are you to be also. Upon the earth. And so you look at your physical body and you've got to realize this is simply a vehicle to house the incarnated word of God in you. And all it is a vehicle. When you look at me, this is not who I am. In my entirety. And if you judge me based upon just what you see here this morning, you're going to miss it. And if I judge you according to your flesh, I'm going to miss it as well. It said Jesus now knows no man after the flesh. You're so much greater than the flesh that you have. Hallelujah. And now I know when you're young and you're all firm and you're all no wrinkles, you think, boy, this is a cool thing that I got. I'm housing around, carrying around. But it all catches up with you. Sooner or later, that flesh isn't quite so appealing. What are you going to do then? Realize the flesh is only a temporary dwelling place for what God says you are. Hello? You're not limited by who you are out here. You're only limited by who you are in here. And since there is no limitations on him, guess what? There is no limitation. That's why greater works than ye shall you do, the Lord said. For when the body of Christ wakes up to the revelation that they are carrying an incarnation of his word in their hearts, then nothing will be impossible to them that believe. Wow. I miss Travis. You know, I don't have anybody saying amen or nothing.
Yeah.
They don't count now. Don't count. I had to prompt you. But I do appreciate it. So this victory comes in the earth. It comes through Christ. But the greatest victory is coming in the brand new creation. Did you know that you're a new nation being birthed upon the earth? You're a holy nation. You're a royal priesthood. This is a nation. This is not just an active social church where we come together and have a little feel-good party. We are actually a people that are being born for something in this hour. We are the kingdom of God upon the earth. I've been looking for the kingdom of God for 42 years. Thank God I found it. Everybody say, I found it. It's because I begin to realize I don't have to keep looking. It's already here. I don't have to keep saying, well, some glad day I'll find the kingdom. Someday we'll see what God has. But I can say today, today is the day of his kingdom. It's right here in the midst of us. It's in you. And I'm proud to be a part of the kingdom. It's far better than being an Okie from Muskogee. We don't smoke no marijuana in Muskogee. I'd rather be one that we just draw his glory in his kingdom. We just walk in his victory and his joy. Hallelujah. The same one that raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. That same anointing that came into that grave on that third day and energized the body of Christ and brought him into a glorification resurrection also is in the earth today, resurrecting you into his image. Don't you ever forget it. Quit accepting the lie of the enemy that you cannot walk in a resurrection power. It's a lie. See, the faith that brought you into Christ and that keeps you into Christ today has made you Satan's master. The people, I'm so afraid of the devil. No, don't be afraid of the devil. Crush him under your feet. Whenever time a lie manifests, say, I'm going to crush me a lie. It looks like a cockroach. That's you know how nasty cockroaches are? How many of you just love cockroaches? They're nasty, aren't they? That's what lies are like. It's a bunch of cockroaches running around in your brain. Call the Orkin man. Call Jesus. Call upon the name of the Lord. Guess what? When the light comes, and it said, behold, the light of God has come now, and darkness will flee. I never seen a cockroach yet. You didn't turn the light on, they wouldn't flee from you. Right? I never seen a lie that could dwell in you as long as the light's there. When you let the light of glory into your life, you let the Lord Jesus Christ rule, he chases away the darkness. The lies are gone. When Jesus was recreated in the dark region, we were right there in the mind of justice, right there also. See, he went into the dark place, but he had to go there to overcome it. When Jesus conquers adversity, it's just like we've done it as well. See, what so happens, so beautiful about this, is once you have a revelation of what he's giving you, then all of a sudden, now you participate in everything that he does. Everything that he does, you begin to participate in it. Just like Jesus had that relationship to the Father. He said, I only do the things I see my Father do and say the things I hear my Father say. For I and the Father are one. And when we realize this, that we really are one with the divine plan. You talk about a confident people. When you realize that everything you do is just an expression of him, then you begin to get pretty excited. You thought, well, I gotta get up and I gotta walk in this super righteous life, and I've gotta discipline myself so that I don't make a mistake, and I gotta be anxious about this walk with God. No. You just be who you are. Amen. And that means that he is revealed. He's not revealed in who you're trying to be. He's revealed in who you are. He's not revealed in who you're trying to be. He's revealed in who you are. You don't have to be anyone other than who you are to reveal him to the earth. We all tend to see, well, if I could just be like him or like her or like that one. You see, I was called to preach 42 years ago, and I never felt like I really got a fair shake. I didn't have a lot of natural charisma. Didn't have a lot of gifts. I wasn't even halfway smart. You grow up in Muleshoe, you know, you had to get hit with... That's where all the dumb people settled. So dumb beget dumb. And, I mean, who else would settle in a God-forsaken place like that? With no trees, wind blowing 360 days a year, dust. I mean, who would settle in a place like that? Dumb people. But when I got called, I said, God, I ain't got nothing to give. There's guys around me, some of my friends, boy, they had this charisma. They'd get up to talk, and it was just like everybody goes, ah. It's just like honey dripping out their mouth. You know, man, if I could just have the charisma of that guy. So I didn't ever have much of that. All I have is a revelation of him. I don't know why he loved me. I sure don't know why he called me. I don't know why he even puts up with me. But I do know this. He does. He loves me just for who I am. So I don't have to go around judging myself and condemning myself and evaluating myself and hoping myself could get be a better self than what it's been a self.
Yeah, that's right, though.
I don't have to have performance anxiety. I'm just who I am. Hallelujah. And guess what? You're just who you are also. Isn't that neat? You're just who you are. Did you know that you're wonderfully made by the Lord? Before the foundation of the world, he formed and shaped and fashioned you, and you turned out just the way he wanted. Aren't you glad that God, when he baked his cookies, he didn't use a cookie cutter? He took each cookie, Rhonda, and he formed it and shaped it so that every cookie, when you look, is a little different. He's not a cookie cutter God. He got some skinny cookies. He got him some bigger cookies and some bigger yet. He got him some cookies with fuzzy stuff on top and cookies that were bald. So he got some cookies with stuff here and stuff in other places. But when you look at all the cookies together, you see a great, beautiful cookie nation. And it's so good to be a part of the cookie nation.
Yeah.
And all the cookies in the Cookie Nation love each other. They don't crowd each other on the plate. They don't criticize one another for one of them being this way and one of them being that way, or one of them being this way. They only look at each other with affection and love because they all came out of the same Maker's hands. And they all have little mouths that move on the cookie sheet singing praises. To the one that made them. It's a cookie message. Oh. He said you could all have this resurrection life. You can all win the victory over adversity. Yeah. I've chosen you to be this victor. Yeah. I've chosen you to be a triumphant son and daughter. Mm. Hallelujah. Don't you love him this morning?
Yes.
Oh, man, just I feel the glory coming. Yes. We draw his presence. Thank you, Father. We draw the glory this morning into the house of the Lord. Ha, 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 ha. Hallelujah. Let's just all kind of begin to sing. Then the music's going to play in a second. If you could just kind of worship with me. Hallelujah. Monalalari. Momalalaro. Monalalaro. 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 Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Oh, wow. You say, I accept myself for what he has said about me. I accept the word, and the word is in me. I've been transformed into his image. I am who I am, and that's what I am. And God is pleased with who I am. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. Woo.